Welcome to the Dating After Divorce podcast. I'm your host, Shade Curry, and I believe every divorced woman deserves a romantic relationship where she feels safe, loved, and cherished. You can create the most amazing life after divorce, and I will teach you how. Hello, ladies. Welcome back. How are you doing? I hope your dating journey is going amazing. I have embarked on a brand new journey. I am writing a book. It's interesting how every new goal we take on really is the same journey. It doesn't matter whether you're trying to get a job or you're trying to get through a divorce or you're writing a book or you're having a baby or you're getting married. All of these journeys are containers for our self-growth. Every new thing we take on like brings all kinds of feelings and thoughts, insecurities, obstacles, things we didn't realize were going to be a part of this journey. It brings all of that stuff up. So I am writing a book. I signed up with a book coach, and it's bringing all of my stuff up as well in that area. Some anxiety about failure, some feelings and thoughts about time management. How will I ever get it done? Where will I find the time? I already have a full plate, and I'm so thankful that I took the leap to do it, because if I had been sitting on the other side of the decision, waiting to see all the time on my calendar, waiting to see how it would happen, I would never be at this point in time, like in the middle of trying to write a book. But what I had to do was commit and say, nope, 2021 is the year. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to figure it out as I go and get some support along the way and get some people to help me. So you will probably be hearing about my book journey as I go along. And it's helped me think about my dating journey again, and really the dating journey of all of my clients. And what I've done is, in my program, I actually have broken down the dating journey into phases that I teach my clients. And the reason I do that is because when you're on the beginning side of any journey, everything looks too big. It looks too massive. You can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so a lot of people will give up because they don't have an understanding of what it takes to go from point A to point Z on the journey. So I am going to talk to you today about what the dating journey looks like, so that wherever you are in that journey, you can understand that, oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't give up. Maybe what's happening is just a part of the process. Maybe I just need to learn something new or approach this differently in order to move through this part of the process. Many times we think something has gone wrong, something bad is happening, or when a guy ghosts us, we think, oh my God, this is the end of the world, right? And we delete all the apps and we give up. But what if that was just a part of the process? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and get started telling you my view of the phases of the dating journey and what your brain is doing, what your emotions are doing, and what you need to do to have success at every stage. So the very first stage, right, is non-engagement, especially if you've been divorced, right? Just at the beginning of a divorce or when you're just newly divorced, you can't even imagine having somebody else in your space. You're like, no. I do not want someone in my space. I do not want anyone messing with my money. I do not want anyone messing with my body. My house is quiet and calm. I don't need anybody in here telling me what to do. I don't need anyone in here, moving my stuff around or whatever it is your fear is that will happen if you let someone in again. Or what if I marry a narcissist again? What if I marry the wrong person again, right? And what is happening at this point in time is that your brain is giving up before it starts. Like, it's already telling you this is not for you. And the reason it's doing that is not because it's true that a healthy, happy relationship isn't for you. Your brain is doing that because it just wants to conserve calories and reduce effort. It really doesn't want you doing any of the things you do. It doesn't want you to write a book, doesn't want you to run a business, doesn't want you to go to work, but it knows that you won't eat if you don't go to work, right? So it lets you do that part. It doesn't want you to get out of bed. It wants you to sit on the couch, eat cookies, watch Netflix. It wants you to get huge and have like layers of fatty tissue on your body so that you can survive whatever apocalypse it thinks it's coming, or so that you can survive the lack of food that it thinks is going to happen, because it's still operating in some ways back in caveman days. So in the dating after divorce journey, your brain will immediately kick in and say, no, let's not do this. Why put in all the effort? It'll tell you all the things that could go wrong. It'll convince you that you're probably going to pick the wrong person and divorce all over again. It just wants you to not go there. Or it'll tell you that you're not lovable, that you're too fat or too thin or too rich. That is a thing, ladies. That is a thing. There are many people who feel like, well, I'm just too rich, I'm too intelligent, I'm too intimidating for a guy. Or he'll tell you you're too poor, like you haven't made it yet, you haven't gotten your credit score up to 1,000, or whatever it is your brain thinks you need to hear in order to not embark on your next adventure, it will tell you. And this is why having the coaching skills to be able to see what's going on in your mind and what your thoughts are doing that's causing all the overwhelm or causing you to be in analysis paralysis, that is super important, so that if this is a goal of yours, you can deal with it. So that's what your brain is doing during the non-engagement stage. What you need to do in order to be in charge of your goal and to be in charge of your adventure and be in charge of getting to where you want to be is to, first of all, think about your why. Having a relationship after a divorce isn't for everyone. I know not everybody wants to date after divorce, but if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do. So what is your why? Why do you want this? Are you looking for a chance to do it over with the right person? Are you going on this journey as a personal transformation container, knowing that you have things that you need to resolve and you kind of want to see what those things are, resolving your doubts, giving yourself permission to want what's good in life, dealing with your trauma? Like, all of those things are things that need to be resolved anyway. Your dating journey is the perfect container to bring all of that stuff up so that you can come out on the other side a healthy person with the ability to choose a healthy partner. Don't let the past and what you experienced with your ex dictate what your future can look like. You can literally create a future that looks nothing like your past if you engage with your thoughts and your brain and you engage with this goal and all the parts of the goal. Remember, your brain wants to keep you in lazy mode. It wants to keep you doing nothing, right? And so you have to be the boss of it. You have to be like, okay, what do I really want? If I could succeed at having an amazing new relationship and get married again and live happily ever after, would I want it? And if you do want it, then you owe it to yourself to say, okay, I'm going to engage with this part of my life. I'm going to engage with this part of my desire. I am going to learn what I need to learn. I'm going to figure it out. And I'm not going to just sit here and fail ahead of time. So that's the first stage, non-engagement. You're not even touching it with a 10-foot pole. The next stage is kind of chaotic, right? You go on the app and all kinds of crazy things start to happen and it just feels terrible and overwhelming. And it's like, what is happening here? What's going on? Or you go on your first date with a guy and it just doesn't go well and you don't feel like you know what you're doing. You're like, so what do I do? What do I say? How do I dress? Like, this is crazy. I haven't done this in 20 years or 25 years. How am I supposed to do this the new way? So it's chaotic. It feels awful. And many, many, many people give up here. I know many people who are like, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. If God wants it to happen, He's going to make it happen. I just want it to happen organically. I just want to meet the person while I'm out here living my life. And that can happen. and it does happen. However, for some other people, it doesn't happen that way. And what your brain is doing at this stage, when you've like put your toe in the water and you've gotten started with the process, is that your brain is freaking out because it's out of its comfort zone. Right. So instead of binge watching Netflix in the evening, you're on this dating app looking at these profiles and you don't even know how to choose. And it feels like you're incapable. It feels like you don't know what you're doing. You're back at the learner stage. It's like a 3-year-old learning how to hold the pencil, and it's uncomfortable and he can't make the letters right, and the letters look nothing like the letters that he was supposed to make, right? And the brain struggles with being in that place of the unfamiliar. The brain struggles with being out of the comfort zone. And because it wants to get out of that discomfort, it looks for the evidence that it shouldn't be in there. It tells you everything is going wrong. This is bad. This is not going to end well. Something bad is going to happen. And your brain is telling you all of this so that you will quit. It literally wants you to quit the journey right at the very beginning because it's so unfamiliar and uncomfortable. Think about a sport that you don't play right now, like, I don't know, bungee jumping, skiing, sledding, basketball, volley, just whatever it is, you have no idea what to do with the tools of that game. Now imagine going on the field today and being expected to play that game. That would feel massively uncomfortable. That would feel really, really hard. It's not because there's anything wrong with you. It's just because you're in the unfamiliar, you're out of your comfort zone, and you're learning something new. So your brain is resisting that learning. It's resisting that growth. And so you feel a lot of anxiety. You feel overwhelmed. You feel annoyed. You start judging the process. And often, if you don't realize what you need to do here for success, you may end your journey altogether.
Do you wonder exactly how divorced women just like you are meeting eligible men who want a real relationship and a commitment? They're doing it by dating with their core values. Your core values are the GPS that lead you to the partner you've been looking for. When you use your core values on dating apps, text messages, and at social events, you will easily connect with your true match partner without chasing, settling, or wasting time with non-committal men. I have taught exactly how to do this in the 2-hour Core Values Dating Blueprint course available on my website, shadecurry.com/dating. That's shadecurry.com/dating. You will learn exactly how to identify your core values and use them on your dating profile, how to ask the right questions via text, and how to tell the right stories on dates, so that you attract the right people and repel those who aren't right for you. If you're ready to meet your true match, hop over to shadecurry.com/dating or click the link in the show notes. Now back to the episode.
What you need to do is embrace the fact that this is normal. This unfamiliarity with the process is normal, and expect it. Expect to feel uncomfortable. Expect to learn new skills. Approach it like, this is kind of an experiment. I wonder what would happen if I swiped left here or swiped right here. Create an environment of safety around yourself where it's like, okay, what's actually happening? I feel a lot of anxiety. I feel uncomfortable. But what the only thing that's happening is that I have my phone in my hand and I'm swiping from left to right, right? Or the only thing that's happening here is I'm in a restaurant sitting across from a table with someone I haven't met before, and break all of that down into a very neutral situation that gives your brain a feeling of safety. This, seeing the real fact, seeing it as a learning experience, believing in your goal and your why, and understanding that there will be obstacles and new skills that you have to learn along the way, will keep you in the game long enough to figure it out. So remember, your brain, your subconscious brain, and your caveman brain wants you to get out of the process. And you, as your higher self, are going to have the awareness and higher level thinking and apply the higher level thinking to keep yourself in the game until you figure it out. The next stage is the what I call the when stage, right? When is it going to happen? So like you've gone from non-engagement, you've started engaging with it, you're starting to figure some things out, you're starting to learn, your process is getting better, you're meeting higher quality guys, right? Because you're evaluating and kind of learning from the process. In my program, I teach my students how to evaluate, how to take learning from one date to another. And as you do that, your process gets better. Like you get better at choosing guys, you start having more fun dates, you start having better dates, but you still don't have the one, right? So you're thinking like, I can do this, but when? What's happening here is that your brain is interpreting the fact that you don't have the guy in your life as the same thing as you will never have the guy. It's like, well, we don't have the guy now. We've gone on 10 dates and we don't have the guy. So that means that we're never going to have the guy. And I'm sure you're starting to see a pattern here, which is that at this point, your brain is like, listen, we shouldn't have to make this much effort to find a guy, right? He wants to conserve all the calories and all the effort that you're putting into your dating process. And so it's starting to like flag on your motivation and your persistence. And it's starting to tell you, listen, let's just give up because we don't have the guy. But what happens when you give up because you don't have the guy is that you never have the guy. You literally create a self-fulfilling prophecy when you back out because you don't have the guy. So understand that the fact that the guy isn't there yet doesn't mean the guy will never be there. Your brain at this point is thinking like a toddler or a young child in, on a road trip, on a really long road trip. And it's always like, well, are we there yet? Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? Because the child doesn't understand that just because we're not there now doesn't mean we will never get there. But to the young person, it literally feels like we will never get there if we're not there now. Their ability to delay gratification and to engage in a long-term process is not quite developed. And so if you find that your brain is telling you, well, you're never going to find the guy because you haven't found the guy, understand that that's just your toddler or caveman brain interpreting the fact that you don't have it yet as though you will never have it. So I call that stage persistence because you just need to persist, right? Especially if you have a great process that's working, you have a great strategy that's working for you, and you are meeting good guys along the way. Now, the next stage is now you're fully competent, like you figured it out, right? I love it when my clients get to this stage after we've worked out all the kinks in their process. We have a strategy that's really working for them. They're meeting people faster. Like I have a client that I met with this week, and we were talking about how I told her that people would kill for her last 10 dates because she had like some really amazing dates. And so you're at the competence stage where you figured out the dating process itself and it's working, but you haven't found the one. And you know from meeting like 10 to 15 to 20 to 30 really good guys that the one out there does exist, because now you've dated some guys that were like so close. Like they had everything, but maybe they weren't ready to commit yet, or they had everything, but maybe they didn't want kids, but you wanted a kid. So you know, oh my God, my guy is out there, right? But the one that has everything you're looking for, you haven't connected with them. Or maybe one or two guys broke up with you rather than you breaking up with them. This is similar to the persistence stage where your brain starts to use the evidence that you have plenty of good guys that you're dating, but not the one. It uses that evidence against you to say, oh, there must be something wrong with you. You've dated 10 really amazing guys, but you haven't matched with anyone long term. There must be something wrong with you. And this comes up a lot because it's just sometimes it's just your thoughts about yourself aren't quite the most healthy thoughts, right? I have a module in my program called The Irresistible You. I teach my clients how to hold unwavering love and belief in themselves no matter the circumstances. Like, we separate who they are and their value and their ability to be loved from whether or not they're in a relationship, right? And that's what you need to have in this stage, is unwavering self-love, an unwavering understanding that you have value, that you are amazing, that you do not have to change a thing about yourself to be amazing. You can change things about yourself that you want, but don't use that as an excuse to say you're not good enough until you have that thing. So that self-love, that solid foundation of self-love, is what you need at this stage to be successful and to keep going in a way that is enjoyable and amazing and gives you a feeling of freedom to continue the dating process. Now, we get to the next stage, which I call holding space. And really, holding space is, you kind of have to do that the whole way, like throughout the process, because there's a part of us that really wants to rush into a relationship and get attached. Well, because that's the goal. If you have a goal to make $1 million, well, don't you want that goal to happen today? Right? No, none of us wants that goal to happen 10 years from now. We would rather it happen today. So your relationship goal is similar. We want it to happen today. The brain doesn't want to extend the effort to be in the process for a week or 2 weeks or a month or a year. It wants it to happen today. And what it will drive you to do is often go into the process of dating with like a very hustly, I'm behind, I need to get it done today energy. And that can cause you to choose to be attached super quickly to someone that you haven't fully vetted, or that you haven't put through all of the stages of your relationship gates, which is another part of the program where every client I have, we sit and we define what gates she wants to put each man through before deciding to go exclusive or go into a long-term relationship with the man. If you don't have the ability to hold space for the right man in your life, you'll just get super attached super quickly, which will send your brain back into its comfort zone, which is where it wants to be. It doesn't want to do the work. So it's like, listen, I don't want to think he's good enough. He'll just tell you he's good enough. He looks good. He smells good. Let's do it, right? And then if you tell it no, because you're like, no, he doesn't quite meet what we're looking for, your brain throws a tantrum and it's like, no, but we love him so much. He's the one, right? And so what you need to do at this stage, wherever it comes up, like I said, the holding space requirement can come up at any time. It can come up early or it can come up later. You want to stay steady in the relationship process that you've defined before you even started. Who you're looking for and why, what your vision is, your belief in yourself, your work around your any attachment issues that you might have had, or other things that you're working on in your life. Like, just holding that tension between, I really want this to be done, but I know this isn't the right person. And keeping that tension, knowing that your brain is going to tell you, no, stop, settle, let's do it, while holding compassion and love for the part of your brain that just wants to rush in, right? Not beating yourself up, not judging yourself. At the same time that you kind of hold space for that, you also hold space for the belief that, no, we're going to find the right person, it's going to be okay, and we're going to keep going. The temptation at this point is to really get kind of tired of holding the space and give up without giving up, right? And I notice sometimes that some of my clients will give up on the goal, but they're still going through the motions and they're still swiping, but they're not really doing it because they've gotten kind of tired, because they're like, their ability to hold space is a little stretched thing, and we have to work on that and bring them back to center and bring them back into belief and into the energy of like, yeah, I'm in. I'm all in with my goal and I can do this. All right, now, if you go through all of the stages that I've listed before, you get to the point where you find the one. He is the one. He's amazing. He's great. Everything clicks. You're having so much fun. I call this stage exclusivity. And then guess what? You start to feel super anxious. It never fails. It never fails that the emotion of anxiety comes up. And it makes perfect sense because guess what? Remember, you've got that human brain that's always kind of doing its own thing. There's a part of you that knows, no, this is great. The guy is great. Everything is fine. And then your brain is like, nope, nothing's fine. Everything's gone wrong. And the reason your brain does that is because guess what? You've just spent maybe 2 or 3 or 4 months in this dating process, actively like looking at this goal that seems so far away, and you actually became familiar with not having your goal, and now you have your goal. Guess what? You need to become familiar with having it. The reason your brain is going to start freaking out at this stage is because your nervous system is like, no, we don't know how to be with a person who actually loves us and is nice to us and like shows up and helps us do things and has a growth mindset. Like, we don't know how to do that. So you have to learn how to teach your nervous system to enjoy being in a relationship, having someone in close proximity to you, having someone in that intimate space with you, being vulnerable with another person, breaking that addiction to survival mode because of all the hormones and all the like highs and lows of survival mode. You kind of need to break all of that now that you're no longer in survival mode when it comes to the dating process. And what's great about the process that I work with my clients in is that I try to work with them so that we're already moving out of survival mode even before the guy arrives. Before you meet the guy, we're keeping our emotions in this even keel, celebratory, excited, happy, calm space all the way, so that this stage of being with a guy doesn't feel terrible. You don't have the high anxiety because it's like, oh my God, I don't even know what to do at this point. And some of the things you start to do at this stage is, you know, realizing that, hey, I need to learn new skills. Because now I need to cultivate love with this person. I need to grow through these milestones. You're learning each other's personalities. You're making adjustments and accommodations for each other. You're starting to think about blending a family. You're talking finances. You're talking sex. You're talking, you know, growth mindset, continuing growth together. You're doing the work of looking for red flags, not the work of dealing with like abuse or addiction or adultery or all of those things. You take care of all of those before you go exclusive with someone. This is the healthy work of being in a relationship with someone else who's healthy. However, there are still things that you need to tackle. So after exclusivity, I call this like the cultivating love stage, because then there's still some work that needs to be done. And then after you work through all of that, you get to commitment, like, hey, we made it. We got engaged. We got married. Like, whatever commitment looks like to you, we moved in together. All of that, right, happens. And guess what? Your brain is like, finally, I can sink back into my comfort zone and conserve calories, right? It wants you to get lazy again and sink back into your comfort zone. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to be like, no, we need to celebrate, which can be effort, especially if you've been through a divorce in your past or you've been through trauma. Celebrating, enjoying, sinking into the good can actually be work for a while. Continuing to be intentional, continuing to grow, continuing to learn new things, that can be some work. Making time to enjoy the relationship, to look at your schedules and make sure your schedules overlap in just the right way, right? Making time to grow together, to do the things you said you were going to do together before you committed to each other. All of that are things that your brain isn't going to want to do on the other side of having the relationship. So I decided, like, hey, commitment is also a stage, but it's not a stage where you check the box and life is amazing. It's a stage where you check the box, life is amazing, but you continue to grow, and now you're growing with another person. Now you're becoming an even better version of yourself with this other person, but you're enjoying every step of the way. So taking a look at this journey from start to finish can let you know, oh, this is what I'm embarking on. And let me tell you, your brain is going to say, girl, that is way too much work. We do not need to be doing any of that, right? But just know that your brain will also say the same thing in any area of what you want to do. So if you want a relationship, right? If you want a better relationship with your kids, if you want a better job, if you want a promotion, if you want to get an MBA, like whatever it is you want to do, your brain is going to go through all of the stages somewhere along the way. And so when you realize that and you see that this just applies across the board, you can decide that applying it in the area of a relationship doesn't have to be any more scary than any other goal that you want to go through or any other goal you want to achieve. It's just one other area where the brain tries to keep us safe by keeping us on the couch and doing nothing. So if having a healthy, loving, happy relationship is something that you want, allow yourself to say yes to the growth that comes with it. Sis, I promise you, you can do this. Like, this is not something that is out of your reach. This is not something that you are incapable of embarking on. It is the best adventure. And I encourage you to reach out to me if this is something you'd like to do. You can go to my website, sadecurry.com, sadecurry.com, and book a free call with me. And we can talk about how to apply all of these principles that I talk about on this podcast to your journey, or you can download my 8-part series on dating, the past dating challenges that I've done. They're video series, and it contains a lot of what I teach here, but then you also get like the questions and the work, well, not the worksheet, but the questions in the worksheet that you can go ahead and apply to yourself. So thank you for your time and attention today, and I will see you next time.
Thanks for listening today. If you are ready to get married after divorce, I want to invite you to download my free 8-video training specifically designed to help divorced women date with ease and get married again. Head over to sadecurry.com to get started. That's sadecurry.com. I'll see you inside.